Welcome to the Optimal Bio Podcast. At Optimal Bio, we don't just balance your hormones, we balance your whole body. Our conversations range from nutrition to medicine with an emphasis on wellness tips to support your health journey. If you like what you hear, find us on the web at optimalbio.com and follow the podcast so you don't miss an episode. Thank you for joining another episode of the Optimal Bio Podcast. Today we have Abigail King. I'm so excited to dive into nutrition as she will tell you about her expertise. So welcome.
Thanks for having me, Tyler.
Yes, excited to talk about all things nutrition as you know, as we know, but so many people don't know the importance of nutrition.
Absolutely. I feel like the food as medicine kind of tagline is becoming more and more of a thing, and people are really recognizing how important it is to fuel their body well. There's confusion around what that means, so maybe we can clear that up today, but yeah.
I know, because I'm like, food either hurts you or helps you, and I think thankfully that conversation is getting bigger, but it still needs to be had because, and we'll dive into it more, but it's like, you eat processed food and then you get anxious. It's like, yes, they work together, you know?
Absolutely. You got to be educated. So love this podcast for that.
That's why we have it, just to educate and have these conversations and hopefully help someone along the way. So let's kind of start with your background. What are you and how did you get there?
Yeah. So I went to undergrad at the College of Charleston. I always knew I wanted to be in the health field, not sure in what capacity that or what that would look like. I just had science, biology made sense to me. That's more of my brain. And learning how things actually work in the body. So yes, wanted to go into health. And then, I graduated with a BS in public health, and kind of senior year, or actually it was going into senior year. So that summer I got an internship with a naturopathic doctor. And that's really where my eyes were opened to like holistic treatment and nutrition and addressing the root cause and all of that good stuff. So I interned with a doctor, and after college, I ended up working there as my full-time job and deciding, okay, is this what I want to do, or do I go back to schooling? So I went back to school. I thought about being a naturopath, but, you know, I started health coaching for this doctor, which, you know, anyone can call themselves a health coach.
Yeah. Yes.
But at that time, yeah, I just had my bachelor's degree, and just sitting in on her consultations, hearing about her patients and how their lives really transformed by like protocols she was putting them through. I thought, okay, this is something, this is where I want to go, not knowing I was going to start my own business. So I decided to get my master's in nutrition and functional medicine. And so I did that while still working with this doctor, and getting my clinical hours done through her. And then after I finished my master's, I became a certified nutrition specialist. So that's a CNS, which is different than a registered dietitian. I would say those two are like the most common or most recognized nutrition degrees. You got to do your research and know who you're working with, look at their education, their experience, their credentials. So a CNS is a certified nutrition specialist. It's governed by the American Nutrition Association. And the main difference is, to qualify to be a CNS, you have to have a master's degree. Whereas at this time, to be a registered dietitian, you don't have to have a master's, you just need a bachelor's. And then you go through like a dietetics program, typically through a hospital type setting. And then you take an exam and now you're an RD. And then for the CNS, I had got my master's, had 1,000 hours of clinical work, supervised training. And then I took the board exam, a supervised test. And the information that you learn in that program is a little different than the information that you would learn through the RD route.
Oh, yeah. What are some of the differences?
So typically a registered dietitian, you know, they're learning about nutrition for certain disease states, less about the prevention. It's more about, how do we take someone that, you know, has diabetes, how do we get their blood sugar under control? I mean, it's a very important job, but it's regulated more so by the FDA, and you don't have much, discretion as a practitioner. And it's more so in the hospital setting, which we need those people. We need more of those people. I wanted to help people more so on like the prevention route, optimization, really digging deep, looking at the whole body, not just what you're eating, although what you're eating is very important. So that's kind of the path I chose, the functional medicine route, the root cause route, you know, go more into that. But yeah, that's a bit of my background.
And I love that because, like you said, there's so many. One, education is key for anything, right? But especially when it comes to nutrition and medicine, you need to educate yourself. And then you need to educate yourself when you're finding someone to work with, right? What do they specialize in? What is their background to make sure it's a good fit for you and what you're looking for? And like you said, I love that you went through the differences because so many of providers in healthcare, you know, are still trained in a certain way and not looking at the whole body or trying to just stay constant in that disease state instead of how can we prevent, how can we reverse, you know, especially in the hospital system. I was visiting someone in the hospital a few weeks ago and just the food, right, that they still serve. It's so sad. And it's like the person I was visiting was not, I was bringing the food, right? And they were just so confused, like why he wasn't eating the food in the hospital. And it's like, why is there no training? And then we were going through the nurse was asking what supplements he's on or like what medications he's on. So then he started listing his supplements and like, they thought vitamin D is just like crazy. And it's just so sad because one, for their personal health too, but how many people that they could help, right? Especially if you're in the hospital, you're sick. It's like, how can we heal you for now, but for the long term as well?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, yeah. My dad was in the hospital over the summer and I went to go visit him and the food is like waffles and syrup and he was in for certain conditions that you would never want somebody eating waffles and syrup and little fruit cups with fructose corn syrup. I'm like, okay,
that. Yeah. And then like no protein, low sodium. It's like, this is why people are here.
Yeah. I mean, we could go down rabbit holes of the FDA and everything. And I know we'll probably touch on like all the, you know, processed foods and all the chemicals and how that even is allowed, but
yeah, let's go into that now. And I think too, the education and the why behind things, I think is so helpful for anything, right? So it starts clicking. So like once you learn about how chemicals are in our food and how it's allowed, because surface level, you think, why would a chemical be allowed in our food, right? But it is. And there's, so yeah, let's touch in to the FDA and go into processed foods.
I mean, you'd think going into a grocery store, what's on the shelf should be healthy for us. Like, why would our government want to poison us? But I mean, it just goes, if you just follow the line, everything, it's a business. It's money making, these companies, all about money. That's the bottom line. I don't care about our health. They just want us to keep eating the food and buying the food and craving the food. So there's that. And then there's a whole kind of category of, you could say, chemicals, additives, preservatives, colors that fall under the umbrella under the FDA. And they're called generally regarded as safe or GRAS, kind of those chemicals and additives fall under that category. And the FDA has a more like reactive approach to our health and food and our food system, you know, they'll approve something because it's generally safe. Although there is some, you know, some studies showing it's carcinogenic, it's increases hyperactivity, drives inflammation, and really causes disease. You know, they'll wait to pull a food until it actually, like, there's a big lawsuit or something. It's just wild. So you really want to look at the ingredients and minimize as much as possible those exposures, because we don't know what they're doing long-term to our cells, to our microbiome. Everything is, you know, our body's such like a delicate balance, and it's always trying to get back to homeostasis. And so we may start feeling tired or start just feeling a little run down, but that's our body's trying to preserve energy because it's having to do a lot inside to like deal with all this exposure.
Exactly. And to that, kind of just build on it, you know, if you look at certain companies, they're paying billions of dollars in lawsuits a year, right? Because of the chemicals that are allowed in our food. And, but they know how much money they're going to make of it. So they just kind of like, we're going to pay these lawsuits. Because what, like 100,000 chemicals in the US foods are not allowed in Europe, right? I could be off on the number, but vast difference.
Yeah. Yeah. The EU has a more proactive approach to their food system. And then, yeah, like I said, we're more of a reactive. We'll approve things and then just satisfy the businesses and companies. But yeah, these processed foods are just addictive. And that's the point.
Yeah, they're addictive. And you said, and like, too, I always say, like, if you eat Skittles in the UK and you eat Skittles here, so different. Like, yes, you're still eating sugar in the Skittles in the UK. But here we have the dyes, the chemicals, and that's what's causing these issues. So, you know, let's, I think too, like the hyperactivity in kids from dyes, you know, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. I mean, there's red number 40, yellow 5, blue 1, blue 2, green, like, I mean, it just doesn't even sound natural.
Anything that's like bright and doesn't sound natural, like we don't need it in our body.
Yeah. And it's just added to enhance our food. You don't need that. You know, cheese doesn't have to be yellow. Be whatever color it's naturally supposed to be. But yeah, there's studies showing that red 40 specifically is linked to hyperactivity and ADHD in kids. So knowing that, you know, I mean, I'm not a parent, but So I can imagine how difficult it is to monitor your child's intake, but it's just being, this is another topic, but being a role model, like what's in the pantry, what's in the fridge, maybe here and there, but for the most part, sticking to whole foods, limiting all that.
And again, I'm not a parent either, and I can't imagine, but it's like, once you know what that food is doing to your child, it's like how... And so explaining that to them too, right? So it's like so many times, like a kid has a tantrum or, you know, and it's like, yeah, but you just gave, like their poor little brain is on fire right now from their food. So like this is why they're acting this way, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of what I think of brain on fire, even like adults with different inflammatory conditions, like where are the sources of fire in the body? Like how can we start to put them out? Yeah, it's all about inflammation and trying to put out those fires.
Exactly. And kind of like what you talked about earlier, it's like little by little, right? It's like a bucket, and it's like a little drop. And it's like, oh, I'm tired. Oh, I have a headache. Oh, I might be whatever. But then it starts building up and you can have bigger issues, bigger diseases. And one, it's like, one, you want to feel good day to day, right? You don't want to feel tired and have headaches. Like just because it's common, our body is not supposed to function like that. And then two, really trying to be that preventative state. And, you know, when you're, you know, with your clients, like how do you work with them? And again, I know each person is individual, but, you know, how do you provide the education and work with them?
So my approach and what I like to tell my clients in the initial consult. So I meet with clients one-on-one. I work virtually. So I have clients all over the US. Half are Charleston based, but you know, I have clients in Florida, California, Oregon, Arizona, everywhere. So everybody starts with an initial consultation. That's about, I spend a lot of time, go through their health history. And that's so important to understand like their foundations, even like growing up, their mindset kind of, really helps me to understand where they're at today. And then another piece of it is kind of telling their story back to them. And that's really like brings a lot of clarity and understanding, because I'm telling them, okay, so when you had recurrent strep throat from 4 to 15 years old, like all of those antibiotics really did a number on your gut. And, you know, I hear this a lot with more so my women clients that are stuck in like a diet mentality or fear of food mentality, just not a healthy relationship. I mean, it can stem back oftentimes to their experience as a child with food, and maybe their mom was always on diets, and then they're just seeing their, you know, parents dieting and talking about it and weighing in. And so anyways, learning that whole story is crucial to understanding how to heal them and get them better. That's a huge part, that initial intake, going over their main concerns, going over, their daily routine, their diet, how much water they're drinking, their protein, their fiber, their, exercise regimen, their sleep regimen, stressors, all of that. So, you know, and my job is to identify imbalances in the body. So, like, you know, deficiencies and, hormone imbalances, toxicities in the body. So those kind of two camps to identify and then educate clients on. And then oftentimes I'll do testing, and that helps to bring the pieces together a bit more. So yeah, it's not an overnight approach.
Say that louder. Yes. Yeah.
Going into like when clients come to work with me, like, most of them understand that, like, okay, they're looking for a lifestyle change. They really want to get better. They have not found answers through the conventional medical system. They're tired. They, you know, have gut issues. They're not getting their period. They're getting their period too frequently, or whatever the issues are. Yeah. We just want to get to the root and begin the process.
And like you said, like the mental aspects, like our body is incredible, but it all works together. So finding those pieces, talking through it, and you don't realize like the things that all may connect, especially, you know, with your health and your inflammation. It's just like, we can clear out inflammation. That is key, right? But how many pieces go to it? What can you control? And then making sure that the client understands that, right, too, of what they can't control and they can start healing. But I think the biggest piece, like, we're in such a society of that quick fix, of that pill being the norm, but it's going back and, you know, understanding, like, we want you to feel good and be healthy for a lifestyle, not these peaks and valleys.
Right. I mean, that's why my approach is, well, diets don't work is what I'm trying to say. It's like small changes over time, consistency. That's what really moves the dial. Yes, it takes longer, but that's what's going to get you to the best spot.
Exactly. Best spot day to day and keeping you healthy. Because like, I don't think people realize fully, like, your health impacts the relationship with yourself, your family, your friends, your work. And if you're not feeling well, it's going to affect other areas of your life.
Yeah, definitely. And really, I find there's a camp of my clients that they want to go right to the fancy stuff, which is fun and fine, but you can't skip over the basics and the foundations. And so I start there with everybody. Even if somebody thinks, you know, their diet is immaculate, their macros are perfect, I'm like, well, start to look at that, because there's a lot more to dig in there. Yeah.
And what do you consider your foundations?
Great question. So foundations to me, like, number one, what stands out is like, what are you eating? When are you eating it? So are you eating balanced meals to support your blood sugar? Because blood sugar can trickle down to every single camp in your body, or every body system. I mean, so that's a basic, of course. the nutrition kind of bucket. Second would be like movement. And it doesn't have to be like you're hitting the gym every day, but just getting outside and going for a walk, even like stretching, yoga class, like Pilates, really just some type of movement, because that's so important for mental health, even motility, like struggle. It's just trickles down.
In so many ways. I always say, I'm like, if everyone just worked out in whatever way that means to them, the world would be a much better place.
Yeah. Another foundation would be like addressing deficiencies. So I have a client, or if I have a client that's on like the birth control pill, okay, knowing that likely going to be deficient in your Bs. We want to zoom in on gut health, making sure your microbiome is optimized. We want to make sure like your liver is getting all the nutrients that it needs and it's working well to help detox the synthetic estrogen. So I consider that a bucket and a foundation, like addressing deficiencies. Sleep is a huge foundation. Water. Yeah, those are like the big ones right now. Yeah.
And I love too, it's like, yes, like it can seem like a lot in the beginning of these basics, but then you can bring those basics into your life. Like it should be a normal thing once you understand the importance of them. And you start feeling good. Like when you go move, feel good. When you sleep, yes, exactly. And you talked about gut health. I would love to dive into gut health and I know we could talk about gut health for the next 7 days, but really, you know, for people to understand the importance of gut health and how it affects your overall physical health, mental health, and then like some symptoms that you see affecting gut health.
So whenever I start talking about gut health with my clients, I always like to hear, okay, when I say gut health, what do you think of? Like, I have my own, I mean, I know what it means, but I hear all the time, like, using the bathroom. Like, I'm constipated, I'm not constipated. My gut health's good, it's bad. It's much more than that, although daily bowel movements are very important for not only gut health, but other metabolic processes, the detoxification. It's your colon is a major organ of elimination of toxins. So like your liver is working 24/7 all the time. And it's really filtering your blood. It's detoxing your hormones. It has so much to do with metabolism, and it filters whatever we're exposed to through our food, chemicals, air, skin. So your liver is filtering that. It's dumping that waste into our GI tract. And then it's up to us and really up to the foods that we eat, the fiber that we're getting to help kind of mop all that up. I think of it like that and eliminate it through the colon. So gut health is so important for like lowering our toxic burden and optimizing like all other facets of our health, hormones and whatnot. So I think of it that as like an elimination organ. And then kind of on a more micro level, the gut, a whole other discussion would be like the microbiome. So the actual like makeup of microorganisms that reside within our GI tract, mostly within our large intestine or our colon. And these microbes impact inflammation levels. They impact neurotransmitter production. I feel like a common stat that you'll see is like 95% of serotonin is manufactured in the gut. The serotonin helps not only our mood, but also our motility of our gut. And then our hunger cues as well. So if you don't have enough of the good kinds of bacteria, that's associated with like increased hunger and, you know, throwing off those hunger hormones. So if, you know, that's really how it can impact really everything in our body.
Literally everything. And you did such a great job summarizing it because I think the conversation is getting bigger, but right, gut health is different to everyone, but people really need to understand you're going to keep having these different symptoms. You may get a little better, but if you don't have your gut health, you're not going to feel better. You're going to have, you know, these symptoms that might peak and valley, but you have to have your gut health. Cause like you said, it gets rid of your toxins. It helps, you know, your hunger, your mood. I think it's so interesting that like when you are in utero, the same tissue that forms your brain forms your gut. It's like, it is so, so connected.
That's wild to think of it that way. Yeah.
And then you mentioned your liver. I think people don't give your liver as much credit as it should, right? Because one, our body is always working. People, I don't think, realize that or, you know, think about it, especially going back to diets. Like, our body needs food, right? It needs healthy food, but it needs food. But, you know, especially with women, and you had mentioned birth control, you know, it's like, say, alcohol, right? It's like reminding people, like, your body is metabolizing your hormones, especially when your estrogen's high, and alcohol at the same time. That's why you can feel, you know, different symptoms.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, alcohol can increase increases an enzyme in the liver as you're trying to detox it, but that enzymatic pathway, it shifts the way you detox estrogen, and it could be towards a more like inflammatory pathway. And then over time, and other chemicals and toxins do this too, I'm picking on alcohol, over time, you'll start to experience more and more symptoms. So symptoms of like poor estrogen metabolism could be unpleasant PMS symptoms in general. I can cover a whole host of things like depression, like really tender breasts, migraines, just pain, like so many things. And really it goes back to, all right, how much hormone is the organ system making, like the adrenals or ovary or whatever it is, testes. But then how well, like part two of it is, how well are you able to clear it out? That can often contribute to imbalances.
Exactly. Yeah. Have you ever done a coffee enema?
I have.
Okay. So I got a colonic yesterday. I know TMI probably for everyone. Yes. So, but it was interesting because I've never done a coffee enema. But we were just talking about it yesterday, and just during 10 to 15 minutes of doing it, it clears out your blood, you know, five times going through the liver. And it's just like the benefits of just in 10 minutes, what it's doing to that, you know, the toxins and the inflammation in your body.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why, I mean, this is actually a really important topic. There is a system to go about this whole issue. You don't want to just start taking supplements to cleanse your liver. You don't want to just start jumping on a detox or, you know, whatever you find on the internet. You have to address your gut health first, because otherwise you'll be pulling toxins and upregulating that system, but then to go where? To just be recycled, and you'll make yourself sicker, and you'll have breakouts and bloated. So that's why you got to find someone that can help you, because it is confusing. And the symptoms that you're feeling along the way mean something. Very important clinically, like how you're feeling during certain parts of the process.
Exactly. And yes, like I wish everyone like knew that, and providers felt like you have to have your gut health because that's where the toxins are. And so when you see those ads for take the supplement for liver health or this or that. And it's like, yeah, there's a time and place, don't get me wrong. But if you don't have one, the basics that you discussed that are key, and then making sure that your gut does work so it can clear out the toxins, or you're just going to be in this cycle. Yes. And like you said, like when you're having these symptoms, your body is telling you something. And I think people need to like be in tune to be like, your body is trying to tell you something for a reason.
Yeah. And most people think, because I asked the question, when I say liver health, what do you think? they'll talk about their alcohol consumption and start to, you know, back themselves up about their reasoning behind drinking a lot or not drinking a lot. But it's more than, it's more than that. There's so many things that impact your liver.
And, you know, do you ever, you know, with talking to your clients, talk about like the toxins in, say, like personal health items, especially with women, like the serums we use on our face and toothbrush and deodorant?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, to really just simplify it, like, I mean, your skin is a huge organ, and what you put on your skin, where do you think it goes? It absorbs, enters our bloodstream, and then the liver sees it. So, I mean, it's that simple. What you're putting on your skin is entering your body, and your liver has to deal with it and filter it out. Well, it already has a million other things to do. So you're just slowing it down. And it's not that you're going to see issues on your, you know, most likely you won't see issues on your lab work yet, but it's just those signs and symptoms, those like, you know, lights that are starting to go on the dash that are telling you, all right, let's kind of revamp and take a look at what I'm doing, what you're doing, because your body's trying to tell you something. So, I mean, some cases, like I've had a client who, he had really poor gut health, celiac disease, not using the bathroom regularly, lots of inflammation going on there, but he also had extremely high liver enzymes. And I mean, he was drinking a lot, like loved his bourbon every night, a couple. And so, all right, so we do need to reel that back, but first work on gut health, and then we'll work on really supporting the liver and kind of regenerating there.
Exactly. And two, as a society as a whole, we're getting sicker, right? From anxiety, depression, physical ailments, you know, diseases, cancer rates, right? Are just skyrocketing. And it's like, why is that happening? You know, we should be getting healthier. And so, of course, there's many reasons, but going back to the toxins in our food, the toxins in the products that we use, there's a, you know, there's many, many pieces of the story there.
I mean, it's definitely a clear denominator when you really think about it. Just since the 80s, the amount of pesticides being used is just skyrocketing, and the amount of chemicals just that are being allowed in our food and on that grass, part of the safe list, is just increasing. So our body is having to deal with so much more than it ever had.
And it's not working out well, right?
No. And our need for, I mean, this really how nutrition kind of plugs into, let's say, liver health and detoxification. There's a greater need for our body of B vitamins and vitamin C and everything to help filter all of that. And if you're not eating those things, and then your liver won't be able to go through phase one and phase two as efficiently as it should. And then secondly, if you're not even above that, like if you're not even able to digest the food well, if you're eating well, but you're having digestive issues, gas, bloating, indigestion, those are some common kind of just GI indicators. But there's also, you know, if you're having anxiety, if you're having skin issues, like that tells me, let's look at the gut. But yeah, I hear all the time, or see all the time on like stool testing, and that, you know, a client may have SIBO, an overgrowth, or a lack of hydrochloric acid, or a lack of enzymes, like pancreatic enzymes. So therefore, they're not even breaking down their food well enough for their small intestine to absorb it so that you can actually, or cells can actually get the fuel. So there's a lot of digging that, you know, you had to really get you feeling well.
And I love that you said, like, you know, acne, anxiety, you look at the gut, right? If you go to a conventional, most conventional doctors, acne, they'll prescribe you something for the acne. Anxiety, they'll prescribe you a medication, when it's like, what's going on? What's causing this, to try to fully heal it? And at the beginning, you had mentioned, you know, food is medicine. So, you know, to tie it up, I think we should really just, you know, dive into why food is medicine and the harmful effects that processed food can do to our bodies.
So when I think like food is medicine, I'm thinking, is the food that you're eating nutrient dense? Meaning, does it have adequate macros? Does it have adequate micronutrients? And so macronutrients, protein, carbs, fats, micronutrients are like your vitamins and minerals. So our bodies need all of those inputs or cofactors for these organ systems to work. just like I was saying, how the liver needs a lot of your B vitamins and amino acids from proteins. And, you know, it needs a certain amount of those nutrients to work well. And if it doesn't have that, if we're not eating those foods, then systems start to slow down, malfunction. We start to get symptoms. You know, it's not to the point where we're in the hospital bed yet, but these are very important signs and symptoms. Each nutrient plays such an important role and has specific functions in the body. B12, we talked about B12, good for the liver, good for energy, mitochondrial function. But B6 is a very important vitamin. It's important for like progesterone production, serotonin production. Think mental health is very important for that. Folate, which you get in like leafy greens, folate is really important for cognitive function and your brain health and your mood. And then amino acids, most people think protein's good for muscle. It is. Yeah. You need adequate protein to build muscle and repair tissues. And the other component of food that is overlooked is like the antioxidant component. You have like, yes, you can like scan your or type in your, you know, food log, what's in an apple. It'll show you how much fiber and vitamin C and whatnot is in it and carbohydrates. It won't necessarily tell you the antioxidant component in these foods, but antioxidants help to combat inflammation. And that's so important. And there's different types of antioxidants, and antioxidants are also good for the gut bacteria. So there's such like widespread benefits of every single food. There's so much to be said.
And you laid it out so well, just showing our body needs the nutrition, it needs the food. And that's why like eating whole foods, eating, you know, nutrient dense, it's so important to your mental health, your physical health, clearing out inflammation, which I think people don't fully realize. And I think we're all learning this as we're going, but inflammation is the root cause of so many diseases. And it's like, how can we prevent it? How we can clear it out? Whereas processed food is causing anxiety, causing depression, causing inflammation, and not giving our body the nutrients that we need.
Right. It's causing a lot of nutritional gaps and deficiencies and making our body work harder. So it's not just not providing the good stuff, but it's making our body work harder. So it's like a double whammy of...
Exactly. Right. And then you add blue light, and then you add the lack of movement, and it's just such a storm.
I mean, it's really all, I mean, to simplify it is getting back to nature, getting outside the most you can, and getting exposed to natural light the best you can, mimicking like what the sun is doing. All right. If it's up, then get outside. If it's down, then turn the lights down. And then eating whole foods. Okay. What can you grow that in a garden or on a farm, then probably not the best, you know, and yeah, relationships, connections, all that stuff, sort of stuff.
Right. Yeah, I would say, you know, what from this, you know, this conversation, three simple things that someone can do to help, you know, implement to for them to get on this track of nutrition and gut health and overall health.
Yeah, overall wellness. I would say, well, sticking with getting back to nature, getting the light is so, so important. I mean, I have so many testimonies of clients telling me, you know, they've been really focusing on like their one goal the past couple of weeks was just to get more natural light, whether it's in the morning's great, but sometimes it doesn't always happen. And they'll tell me, yeah, I've been really focusing on like just getting outside, sitting outside, maybe going for a walk two times a day. And they are sleeping so much better. Their mood is better. It's free. Like that's great to do. So that's a great one. Number two would be sticking with as best you can whole foods. Just keeping it simple. You don't have to be, vegetarian, vegan, and you know, the diet camps, like just forget about that. That's all just marketing trying to grab our attention. And I mean, there is validity to certain things, but ethics and all, but Yeah, just keeping it simple. It can be overwhelming. Like, turn off if it's confusing on Instagram, then don't go on Instagram and get your information from there. Just stick to whole foods. Your body will thank you. And third, I would say we didn't really talk about hydration, water. I mean, that's boring. Yes, people need to drink about half their body weight in ounces of water. But really limiting as best you can, like, your exposures to chemicals and pesticides. So yeah, buying organic when possible. A good resource that, you know, our listeners can turn to for working on decreasing their kind of toxic load and exposures would be the Environmental Working Group, the EWG. Yeah, I mean, following the Dirty Dozen, that's, like, reasonable. You know, you don't have to buy everything organic and break the bank, but sticking to what are the top foods that are sprayed? Like, let's try to buy as best we can, or farmers markets, or, you know, buying local. They also have a database of personal care products where they'll rate, you know, give it a green, yellow, red, or something like that. So that's a good way to check and start slow. Like, you don't have to throw out all of your Tupperwares. You could donate them if you can, or slowly kind of weaning out and getting some Pyrex glass stuff, switching to different types of lotions and face products. Yeah, kind of starting there. It is very important.
No, exactly. And like you said, like, just build it little by little so it's not overwhelming, and then it just becomes part of your life. And then you start feeling better, right? And then you're like, why would I go back to X? Because you feel good and you have more energy and you just feel like you again.
I hear that a lot when I, you know, I have clients with all sorts of dietary preferences, and some that don't like vegetables at all. Like, they're very difficult. But, you know, I'll work with them. I'm like, okay, what do you like? And we'll try to incorporate a little bit more. And then I challenge them to cook this way or whatever. And they end up saying, like, all right, I'm not craving the, you know, processed food anymore. Like, I'm starting to crave more, like, greens and, like, my smoothies, or, like, yeah, they're craving different foods. It's because your things are shifting, your microbiome's shifting, brain chemicals are shifting, things are settling, and it gets easier. Whereas before it seemed like, holy cow, I'm never going to be able to eat a salad or whatever it is.
Yeah, people know is your taste buds do change. Your chemicals are rewiring in your body, and then you want that food.
Yeah, and your baseline gets better.
And then you eat something that, like, has additives or sugar, and you're like, whoa, like, what is this? And then you're like, all right, my body does not want that.
Yeah, it's that simple.
Yes, exactly. No, exactly. And thankfully, we have people like you that can walk people through it and make it simple, and they can have their life back.
Yeah.
All right, let's finish on some quick takes. So do you prefer coffee or tea?
Well, I don't miss my coffee. I mean, I have it every day. I don't miss it like that.
I was like, wow, teach me that. Yeah.
Tea is so therapeutic, and I love having my clients drink lots of teas, different ones for different reasons. So that's more of like an afternoon type thing.
Yes. Sunrise or sunset?
Sunrise.
Running or walking?
Walking.
And strength training or yoga?
Definitely on the strength training grind right now. I do yoga once a week, but.
Love that. Look at you. So balanced, right? Your wellness. I love it. Well, it was so great talking with you. I could talk to you forever about this and the importance of nutrition. So thank you.
You're welcome. Hope people have some good takeaways.
They have to. You're very knowledgeable, so it's great to chat.
This has been a production of Optimal Bio. Optimal Bio is CEO Tyler Brannon, podcast host and partner Jim Baker, medical director Greg Brannon, production assistants by Core Media, Beth Grabencourt, administrator, Kevin Duthu, executive producer. The podcast can be found on our website, optimalbio.com, on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Our theme song is Sunwave by Paradiso, provided by Epidemic Sound.